Hello and welcome to the Vitality Hub podcast, your go-to destination for empowerment, inspiration, and tools to enhance both your emotional and physical well-being. I am your host, Elena Kundro, and I am so excited for today's episode because this is part 3 of the Life Upgrade series, and it's going to be all about habits. Remember that these episodes stack on top of each other. So if you want to get the full benefit of the Life Upgrade series, I do encourage you to go back to the first episode and start there. To access all the supplementary guides and questions and all the tools that I outline in all of these sessions in part 1, part 2, 3, and 4, you can message me on Facebook or Instagram and I will send that to you. To find me, you can just go into the show notes or just search Elena Kundro. Before I start this episode, I want to give you some tips how you can retain more information in any episodes that you consume, whether it be my podcast or any other podcast. First tip is to take notes. I know that it might be tempting to think that you'll remember and after you finish the episode, you'll take notes. But I know from my own experience, I never do that and I forget most of the things. So now I'm really trying to take notes as I listen to the podcast, just open my phone and just write key ideas. I just need to write keywords to remember the idea that they talked about in the podcast. And then after I listened, I can expand on it and take my own spin on it. And that gives me so much more information that I retain. The second tip is to share with a friend. Not only you benefit, but also your friend. I always share what I learn in my podcast with my partner, and he's just like, oh, you're like at ChatGPT for what? Because I share everything that I learn. And that really gives me better understanding of where my loopholes are in the understanding of certain topics. And at the same time, I can enrich his life. And that kind of ties back to the third aspect, how can you retain more information, is implementation. When you share with someone, you can also implement it together. And when you're doing it together with someone, you're much more likely to stick with it and it's going to be more fun along the way. So as you listen to this podcast, this episode, I really encourage you to just take notes, whatever pops into your mind. And then after you listen, you can go back and refine those ideas to really get the full benefit of this podcast and the information that I share here. And you can also make a pact with one of your friends to share podcast episodes and learnings from those episodes. And you'll be surprised by how much richer your relationship becomes, but also how much more information you remember and also incorporate in your life as a result of that. So that's a little intro, and now we can go into the habit formation part. There's a lot to unpack when it comes to habits, and I've been in the habit formation sphere topic for the last 10 years, and the advice pretty much stays the same. Make something specific, find ways to incorporate in your daily life, and then stick to it. And yeah, that might be useful, but from my own experience and working with clients, that doesn't cut it. Only knowing that doesn't necessarily mean that you will stick with it. And yeah, there's a lot of ways to fail in habit formation. So that's why I wanted to make this episode, to really lay out a more comprehensive overview and a blueprint per se, how you can approach habit formation in a more helpful, useful way for the long term. If you listened to the Life Upgrade series episode 1 and 2, then you'd probably have a pretty good idea of what kind of habits that you want to form, and you might be even overwhelmed by the amount of habits. And that's why I specifically said in both of those episodes to not worry about the implementation part, just focus on what do you want to change, what do you want to improve in your life. So now as you have a good review where you stand and a good idea of where you want to go, this is perfect place to start making those little actions towards it. So before I even go into all of these habit formation techniques and tools, I want to ask you to pick one specific area or one specific habit that you want to work on. Because if you want to work on everything together, that's career, relationships, and health, then it's going to be overwhelming and just too much. Maybe some people can pull it off, but I would just generally recommend starting with one, and once you get the hang of it, then you can branch out into different areas. So it doesn't mean that you will just have this one habit for the rest of your year. You'll just focus on this habit once you master it. And there's different information out there. Some people say it takes 21 days to form a habit, others say it's 3 months. But actually, when looking at the data, there's no clear evidence how long does it take to form a habit, because it all depends on what kind of person is forming the habit and how hard is the habit. So really, I wouldn't suggest following this 21-day thing, because depending on your specific situation, it can take longer or shorter. I suggest looking at it from the perspective of ROI, and that stands for return on investment. Really pick a habit that would give you the most amount of benefits. And I really suggest starting with something in the health area, because just from my own experience and working with clients, I've seen that once people start taking ownership of their health and start making small steps towards a better state of being, then that has a ripple effect on relationships and career, because they feel more empowered to take on board more in the career-wise, or show up in the relationships as more authentic and loving people. And the last tip for the introduction part is to make it specific. Because if you just pick a habit, oh, I want to cook more meals, then how are you going to measure it? What is more? And that should be the end goal. So maybe your end goal could sound like, I want to make 5 lunches that I take with me to work every single week. And that can be a measurable, specific habit that you can see if you're progressing towards it or not. But what to do when you want to form something very big that you failed so many times in the past and you don't really even believe in yourself that you can make it? A lot of times I hear that's losing weight, for example. A lot of people struggle with that and they kind of don't even believe that they can attain it. So I have this one questioning technique that I took from my CBT training that I found very useful working with clients and even sorting out my own preferences. So what you need to do is to write all of the advantages of your current situation. Let's take being overweight as an example, because it's pretty easy to understand for everyone. What possibly could be the advantages, you might think? But actually, when you look deeper, there are a lot of advantages. You don't have to worry about food. You can just socialize with everyone and eat whatever. You don't have to exercise. You can just be lazy and watch your favorite TV shows without worrying. You can feel rebellious that you're not into this diet culture and everything. Countless ways to find what's the advantage for you. What's the comfortable thing of being overweight? You don't have to change. So now the second part of this exercise is to find disadvantages of your desired state. So if you want to lose weight, you have to write in the list, what are the disadvantages of losing weight? That might be you'll have to exercise regularly, you'll have to take care of your nutrition better, maybe socializing wouldn't be as easy because then you would need to take care of your diet and you won't be able to eat everywhere, anytime. And yeah, that's just uncomfortable. And on top of that, if you're doubting yourself about your ability to maintain a certain weight, you might be even thinking, what if I put so much effort into this and then I regain it back all over again? And then what if I'll have to be on this constant exercising diet and managing my own health all the time for the rest of my life to be able to maintain this desired state. So hopefully by answering those two questions, doing those two lists, you can have a better idea. Maybe you don't want to lose weight. But a lot of times what I find is that by facing all this inner resistance that will be there in the background anyway, whenever you're making a change, it prepares you even better to face the challenges and the obstacles. And somehow, paradoxically, people find even more motivation by facing that, because then they become aware of all the hardships they'll have to go to get to their desired state and all the temptations they'll be facing. I like to combine these questions, these two lists, with something that I do with my hypnotherapy clients that's working very well, is to visualize a situation where you would be tempted to fall off the desired path to a desired outcome, and maybe skipping exercise, overeating, whatever that is for you that's challenging, and really apply it to the habit that you want to form. And once you visualize that scenario, write out all the tempting thoughts that you have. Maybe it's, oh, it's just this one time, or, oh, I've been working so hard, I really deserve this, or, oh, I've had a very hard day emotionally and I really need that pick-me-up thing. Write out all that's tempting, all the thoughts that are justifying that behavior that you don't want to do. And then do like a mental rehearsal responding to those tempting thoughts. How would you react? How would you silence them? And if you can't do that by visualizing, then probably in real life, it's not going to be very much attainable. So find ways to react to those temptations. So I hope that by now, you are more or less clear on what kind of habit you want to form. If not, you can pause this video or follow along, and after the whole episode, you can open the notes and then figure out what kind of habit you want to start with. So now going into the section 2 of the habit formation, and that's all about starting small and understanding your willpower. A lot of people that come to me for habit change for the last 5 years, that's what I've been hearing the most, is that they're lacking willpower. I can't do it because I'm lacking willpower. And that's also an inner belief that they have about themselves, which we can discuss in the next episode, as I do an episode about identity. But in essence, that's the misunderstanding of a willpower, because willpower is like a muscle. It gets fatigued as the day goes, and it rises and falls depending on how well we slept, what's the mental cycle or emotional state. Willpower is not something that we have as a set amount, and some people have more and some people have less. When they did a research on the people who have apparently the most amount of willpower and they're able to stick with their habits and their routines, actually turned out that these kind of people simply are tempted the least. They created an environment that allows them to perform in the way they want to perform. The more we deplete it, the less of it we have. So now, how do you form a habit if you don't have a constant amount of willpower? Very simple thing is to make it in a way that you don't need the willpower, that you don't need motivation. That is just so simple. It's almost silly how simple that is. And whenever we're working with clients and they tell me they want to exercise or they want to start eating healthier, I always suggest them a bizarre kind of habit to start with, that they're like, yeah, of course I can do that. That's silly. Like, that's a bit too low. But that's very important to start with small, because it doesn't require motivation. And then after a while of you doing it, it just becomes automatic. So what if you want to exercise and you want to do 30 minutes of working out every single day? Then I would suggest starting with a 30-second plank every morning. Yeah, that sounds ridiculous. Like, of course I can do 30 seconds. Who doesn't have 30 seconds? Everybody has 30 seconds in the morning. But 30 minutes, on the other hand, might be a stretch for some people, a very big one. So start with something as simple as that. And for those who want to start running, for example, I really like to start with a habit that precedes the habit. So you have to prepare yourself to go for a run. You have to put on your shoes, you have to get dressed up, you have to think where you'll go. And that is mostly why people never go for a run, because it requires just too much preparation. The same applies to going to the gym. So what I like to start with my clients is to first just prepare all your workout clothes. I know that sounds too simple, but it works. It really works. And then first few days or a week or a few weeks, just focus on building a habit of putting on your running shoes, getting into your workout clothes, and stepping outside of your home. And you can just walk around for 5 minutes and come back. You don't even have to go to the gym or start running, or you can run just a few meters and come back, because that's already a win. And when you know that you only have to get dressed and go out, you already feel a victory once you do that. And most of the times when people do get out of the house, they're like, I might as well do a bit more of a run than a few meters. But on days when you really, really, really don't feel like doing it, those few meters are sufficient. And that gives you that sense of, okay, I'm still doing it. Because a lot of times when we have too high of a goal and we fail, then we don't even want to do that again, or even to think about that goal, because we already feel like a failure and we don't want to feel that. And that's why most habits don't stick. So if you want to build a habit, you have to make it practical as just putting on your shoes and stepping outside and then coming back in. That's practical. Everybody can do 30 seconds of plank or just put on their shoes. And if it's not practical, it's not optimal. Don't focus on what you should do, but what you could do. There's so much shoulds out there. You have to do this and this and this to be healthy, but then you become overwhelmed by the amount of things you have to do, so you end up doing nothing. So just focus not on what you should do, but on what you could do. And one of the best ways to alleviate that decision fatigue is to make it on running on autopilot, to make it so you don't need any motivation, so that it's the simplest thing you can do. When you wake up, you have your workout clothes ready, and it's very simple to just grab them on and put them on. And that ties into the habit stacking advice. I love this so much. So many of my clients are using this and they're saying it works like magic. I really love stacking your existing habits with your desired habits. So something that you do every single day already. For most people, it's brushing your teeth. Everybody brushes their teeth at least 2 times a day. So you can really utilize this habit to add on something additional to it. And it can be as simple as high-fiving yourself in the mirror while you're brushing your teeth. That's Mel Robbins' high-five habit. Or it can be that before you go brush your teeth, you do 10 squats. Or that before brushing your teeth, you plan your meals for the day. Or that you say an affirmation. Whatever really that you want to build, something very, very tiny. Habit stacking technique can really work well for also creating boundaries and reminding yourself to do something. For example, for me, when I wanted to develop a habit of stretching every night before bed, I was looking how to incorporate that. What really worked for me is to set a boundary for myself that before showering in the evening, I will do 5 minutes of stretching. Even 2 minutes. I think I started with like simple few stretches even just before stepping into the shower. And gradually over time that evolved into a 20-minute stretch before shower. And that's the power of habit stacking. I remember when I was developing this habit and I would just forget and I would go into shower, already step into the shower cabin, and then I would remember that, oh, I didn't do my yoga thing. So I would get out, do a few simple stretches, and then get back in. And that's how it works. It reminds you of the thing you want to stack it upon. That's why it's called habit stacking. So really, really utilize that. Think about the activities you do every single day and how you can combine something on top of them. And that can also be boundary setting. For example, for one of my clients, what worked is that she had a habit of watching TV shows with her partner in the evenings. So we decided that she won't go watching the shows before she plans her meals for the next day. And that really worked for her. Okay, so you have your tiny habit, you have your habit stack, you have it clearly measurable, but how do you go from this tiny, tiny 30-second plank into your goal that you identified in the first part of the habit formation, that you want to do 30 minutes of exercise? And that's where 1% improvement comes. You just add little by little, literally like tiny bits until you end up at your desired habit. So the goal here is to add in such small increments that you wouldn't feel the stretch and it wouldn't become uncomfortable, so that your temptations would come in and you'll have to use your willpower to really persevere. So if you do 30 second plank, you can add 10 seconds each day until you build a minute, minute and a half plank. And then once you do that, you can choose another exercise again, 30 seconds or 1-2 squats, and then add a squat a day, so that you can comprise your routine of few simple movements and add on them. And then once you get to 5-minute mark, you can look up maybe workout videos and follow along with them. And gradually, once you just get used to that, you'll realize that, oh, you're doing 30 minutes a day and it doesn't feel like a stretch, because you've built over the months this habit of every morning before shower coming into your yoga mat and doing the thing. And if it progresses into bigger habits, for example, if you want to form a meal planning and meal prepping habit, you can start with shopping, you can start with chopping a few veggies the night before, or soaking your overnight oats or your chia pudding, or prepping your smoothie in a Ziploc freezer bag. But over time, it does build into a bigger habit to meal prep, for example, for a few days, or prepare your breakfast for the whole week and stuff like that. Another advice is to break it down into smaller habits. When you progressed onto meal planning, then you can split it up into few categories, like you do shopping, you do prepping the veggies, you do meal planning, you do looking up recipes, gathering ideas. All of that can be split up so it doesn't look like a one big giant meal prepping task. Another game changer for me, when I used to be in my crazy bullet journaling days, when I would track, I don't know, like 15 habits by that time, and I would just mark every day, I make it colorful and fun. I loved it, but it would take so much time. But what really saved me to keep track on all these habits and to maintain them and not feel like a failure is that I implemented this one day rule, basically, that I never would allow myself to miss a habit twice. So if I'm doing something every single day, like the stretching before bed thing, and if I missed yesterday, I'm not gonna miss today. And I just make that a hard rule. And I think there were times that I missed it twice because I was traveling or something. But because I had this easy relationship with my habits, that my main goal was to bounce back up as quickly as I could, it didn't really bother me, because I wouldn't perceive it as failure. I knew that failure will come. I knew that I will slip. And everybody does that. And the highest performers are those who get back up the fastest. Because most people, when they fail, they wallow in it and sometimes never get back on track, or get back after months and months, and they have to build it back up. But as soon as you slipped, as soon as you noticed, just do something small to get back. Doesn't have to be maybe a full-blown half an hour workout if you can't do that, but getting back to 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just to maintain that. So when I had my bike injury and then I had a skiing injury, before that I had a habit of working out every day and then I couldn't walk. So I still try to find ways how I can exercise at least a little bit to just maintain that habit and get back as soon as I could. So just remember that failure is going to happen and you should plan for failure. What will happen when you fail? What will you do? What's your backup plan? And learn from those setbacks. What could you do differently? And just improve along the way and you'll form bulletproof habits. Because just by listening to this podcast and following all of that, you could have a pretty good map on how you want to include a habit, but the real learning will come from experience when you really start implementing it and adjusting and seeing what doesn't work and what works. So section 3, habit stack, small improvements, break it down if it's too big, and bounce back as soon as you can and learn from your setbacks. Now moving into section 4, that's all about finding rewards, pleasure, and building that environment that's conducive to change. It's very important to find little ways that the habit can be pleasurable because rewards ramp up motivation. And it doesn't have to be an extrinsic reward. It can be an intrinsic reward. I really love Dr. Huberman's podcast, and he talks a lot about that, how you can reward yourself for a certain behavior. And even the habit checking for some of the people is very rewarding. When you check a habit that you did it, it gives that sense of empowerment and accomplishment. So you could try that out as your reward system, or you can make it something more tangible, like you would buy something for yourself after a certain amount of time, you never miss that habit, or you would go on an adventure, have some kind of experience, just something pleasurable, something that would be me time and that you would be really looking forward to. Another way to make habits more pleasurable are right here, right now, to get that instant gratification. How do you make that meal prepping more pleasurable? For me, it's listening to music or podcast. The same works with exercising when I play my favorite songs. I enjoy working out much more. Or when I'm listening to a very interesting podcast, I can walk much further than if I was just not listening to it. So find ways to make that pleasurable. I know some people only allow themselves to watch their favorite shows while they're on the indoor cycle or they're running in the gym. So you can try that out as well. When it comes to eating decisions, finding pleasurable alternatives to sugar can make a massive impact in allowing you to quit sugar. Because if you just quit all sweet senses from your life, you'll have massive withdrawal syndromes in a way that the sacrifice won't be worth it. When it comes to sugar, we have a need for sweetness. And a lot of times that need for sweetness also comes together with need for comfort, need for something soothing, relaxation, that's a break. And you can find ways how can you give that to yourself in a most pleasurable way? What does that habit give you? Maybe that's a sense of comfort, ease, relaxation, something sweet, so that's pleasurable. So you have to find ways how you can get the same needs met in a different way. So if you want that, if that coffee break with a cake is your relaxation time, maybe you can get that relaxation time somehow else. Maybe you can go for a walk or just relax comfortably in a chair to get the same needs met. And then another thing is to find alternatives. For me, that's been the thing that helped me quit sugar because I love sweets. I love desserts. I love making them. And simply by excluding all the sugar from my life, all the desserts, just would not be an option for me. When I found alternatives to sugar, now I'm enjoying it. I don't even think about coming back to all the sugary desserts because that doesn't even taste good anymore. So next very important step is to create a conducive environment for change. And that is most oftenly overlooked and is responsible for all the failures in developing the habits. Because it's very hard to go against the grain every single day. And if your whole social environment, all the people, are kind of ridiculing you for the habits you want to develop and adopt, and then you're the black sheep in the crowd, most often it won't work for the long run. You really have to put most of your attention into building a community, people around you who want to develop the same habits that you are looking to develop. So really look how you could attract people that are in a similar situation in life. Ask yourself, where could you find individuals who are looking to develop your desired habit, or who better even are already embodying the desired lifestyle? Maybe some hobbies, a club, group of some sort. It can also be online. It's very important just to feel that you belong to somewhere and that you are supported. There are the twin studies that are measuring and tracking twins who are identical twins, what influences their health over the long span. And you know what they found? It's not the genetics, it's actually what kind of partner they're marrying to. So that's very interesting, because when you think about it, when you wake up every day and live with the same person for 10, 20 years, you want it or not, you're probably gonna take over some of their behaviors. And if every day they're eating pizzas and cakes by the TV, it's gonna be harder to resist after, you know, 10 years together, unless you really form a very strong self-identity and you have people around who are identifying as well as those who are into healthy lifestyle and movement and food that would nourish ourselves. You can just do a brainstorm if you feel like there's nobody in your environment who already embodies your desired change. Just do a brainstorm and see where could you find those kind of people. And as well, when talking about environment, set up your environment in a way so that your desired habit would be the easiest for you to do. If you want to eat more fruits over sweets, make them easily accessible. There was a study done where they put a jar of candy on top of a counter and in a workplace and saw how much of that candy jar was being emptied. And actually, it would be completely empty by the end of the day if the jar was visible on plain sight, easily accessible. And then the next week, they changed it. They put the jar in a drawer. Like, it was right below. It wasn't miles away. But just by simply hiding that jar of sweets out of sight, that jar would be pretty much full by the end of the day. So what does that say? That we have to put things inside that we want to consume. The same goes for your fridge. If you bring your greens and then you stuff them in the drawer somewhere that you don't even see them when you open the fridge, or you put them in, containers that you can't see visually what's inside, most likely they're not going to get used. That still happens to me this very day. I buy loads of greens, and if I don't put them where I could see them, sometimes I end up spoiling some of them. And it's me talking who's been eating healthy 10 years plus. And so don't be hard on yourself. Just make it simple. Keep what you want to eat inside. Chop up some veggies. Prepare something healthy to snack on. And keep the things you don't want to eat somewhere out of sight. There was someone even saying that you should wrap things that you want to eat in transparent plastic, and the things that you don't want to eat in a foil so you would not see what's inside. And that apparently works for people. So you can try that out as well. And remember what I said previously, that people who have the most amount of self-control are the ones who are tempted the least, because they don't have to use their willpower on every single step they take, because they made their environment the easiest and most conducive for their change. And lastly, for the environment and social aspect, is find accountability, find support. That goes along with joining groups of people who are into exercising and eating healthily. But go a step further and find an accountability buddy that you talk every week and you maybe bring some goals that you want to focus on every single week, and just someone who would be accountable and you could be accountable to, so that they would say straight into your face that, you know, I think you should step up your game in this or that area. That's why mostly the accountability buddies should be someone outside of your family. It's very good to have support in your family, but the accountability buddies should be outside, because then if your family members keep nagging you, oh, you said you're going to be on a diet and you're not, it's going to create a really unhealthy relationship with food and your body, and it's just not what you want. Something else that can really enhance your ability to maintain a habit over a long period of time is something called mental rehearsal. It's been long proven by science that athletes who visualize their game before do better. Other types of performers, public speakers, whenever you have something you want to develop, a performance, a habit, mentally rehearsing it before increases your likelihood of completing it. And I try to do this every single day-ish. Whenever I remember and I feel the need to, I come back to it. And I visualize something that's going to be hard for me the next day and how I do it. For example, when I started coming back to exercising more vigorously after my injuries, I would mentally rehearse how I go to the gym, how I lift, how I train, my form. And that would really help me to maintain that habit and to stick to it. Because once I already rehearsed it, it's kind of easier to perform in real life. And that comes back to, in the beginning, what I talked about, rehearsing those temptations. How would you address them? How would you stick to your habit? Would you talk to yourself? That's kind of planning for failure, seeing how can you be one step ahead and prevent that. So you can develop a practice where right before you're falling asleep, you mentally rehearse your habit. If you want to do 5 squats every time you use a toilet, then mentally rehearse how next day you're doing 5 squats every time you use a toilet. That's actually something that one of the recent clients is now developing. Every time she uses a toilet, she does like 3 squats. And it's been working for her. Okay, and the last thing is to evaluate, measure, and readjust. It's not that you're going to lay out this blueprint now after listening to this podcast and everything will go according to plan. No, you'll have to readjust. You have to make reevaluations and pick some ways you're going to measure your goal, if you're sticking to it or not. And that can be something that you would check in a box, how well you're doing, or checking with your accountability buddy, or some other form of measuring. And that can also provide a lot of intrinsic reward, that you see your progress and that you're sticking to it and that you're improving. If you want to develop the exercise habit, you can write how many minutes you exercised every day and track that, and you can see how you've improved. I do that in the gym. I track how much I lift and how many reps. And that gives me a sense of growth, because humans get so much pleasure from the feeling of growth, that we are advancing. So really leverage that. And whenever you see that you've plateaued, or it's getting too hard for you, or you're falling off track and slipping into your old habits, reevaluate and see what's not working and learn from it. Don't go judging yourself, but really take this as a learning opportunity. Every time you fail, congratulate yourself, because you've learned something new about yourself and something new how you can readjust and make improvements. Okay, so that is it on the habit formation. I know there was a lot to take in. I hope you took notes, and I'm really curious what you will share with your friends and how will you apply that in your real life? Share with me what kind of habit you're starting with, how you're going to implement it. You can tag me on socials, on Instagram or Facebook. You can upload it on your story. I always love hearing from you because that is very important for me as it fuels my mission and provides me motivation to do more of these podcasts and share more to help you live a better life. And just remember that all of this habit formation is not a destination that you're going to reach at some point and you'll be done forever. No, it's a journey. And the best way is to just learn how to enjoy this journey every single day. So I really encourage you to not just take this as another podcast that you heard, oh, interesting information, and carry on, but really implement it, because only after implementing can you see a difference in your life. So you can pick that one habit, set it for, I know, 2-3 months, and lay out a map for yourself how you're going to apply all these little tools that I discussed today about making it small, making it measurable, making your environment conducive to it, habit stacking, all of these tips, and how you can implement mental rehearsal and dealing with your temptations to succeed at this thing. And once you do, you will have more courage and self-esteem that you can do hard things and that you can evolve and grow as a person. And trust me, you will have a ripple effect to all your other areas of life. So take this as a nudge to grow and learn. I would really, really appreciate if you could leave a review for the podcast, because that is the best way how I can grow and fulfill my mission more with this podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope to see you in the next episode of this Life Upgrade series, which will be the last episode. I will share all about identity, how to form the habits from identity and the belief standpoint. To get all the habit formation tips and tricks, all the questions for your review and your vision that I talked about in the first and second part of these series, message me at Elena Kundro on Instagram or Facebook and I will send them to you. And that's it for me today. Have a beautiful rest of your day and talk to you soon.